So right there where you're at, you know, I just want to open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God. I do not take it lightly, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we come forth to hear your message, God, that you prepare us, Lord. You prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord. Prepare the heart, the soil of our heart, God, for this seed in which you desire to plant, Lord. Use every bit of me, Lord, to administer your message, Lord. Use me as your vessel, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, we all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, right there where you're at, we're just going to go ahead and dive right in, you know, with the message tonight. And if you could turn your Bible to Joshua 24, 14 and verse 15. And as we all turn there, I just want to give a huge thanks to those who have been by my side in this time. You know, I want to thank God first and foremost, because without him, I'd still be out there wandering aimlessly, because it was the power of God that saved me. It was the power of God that transformed my life. And I also want to thank, of course, Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia, not only for being there for me, encouraging me, but also challenging me, pushing me, showing me new levels that I can accomplish, because there was times that I just wanted to give up. But it was because of their encouragement that I was able to continue fighting through, because God gave us a spirit of endurance. And sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we want to throw in the towel, but it's the man and woman of God in our lives that helps us to see it. And right there where we're at, let's go ahead and just get into the word this evening. Scripture reads in Joshua 24, verse 14, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living in. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And it says, "And we will serve the Lord." Amen. Right there in some translations, the first verse right there, it says, "Now fear the Lord, worship him in total commitment." Right there, you know, there's something that sticks out in this portion of Scripture. In this portion of Scripture, one word that I want to touch on, it says it six different times in two short verses, to serve. And I don't know about you, Victory Outreach, Grand Prairie. I don't know about you, those who are watching on Facebook, those watching on YouTube. But Joshua here gives the people of Israel a command. He tells them to choose this day whom they are to serve. And I believe that we too face this question, this command. And that is, whom are we to serve? Who are we going to choose to serve this day? This fired up Friday, Friday Night Lights. I choose, for me and my household, we choose to serve the Lord. And I believe that I'm looking at a house full of people who are here to serve the Lord. Maybe you're sitting there on Facebook, and maybe you're sitting there on YouTube, and you have made the same decision. You see, Joshua tells the people of Israel, serve the Lord our God, or serve the gods of our ancestors. You see, when I think of serving, I can't help but to think about the military, those who serve our country. You see, many men and women have made the commitment to serve our country. To serve our country, you see. And I just want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank all those who have served in the military, in the armed forces, those who have served, those who are serving. Maybe you're tuning in on Facebook and YouTube and you're overseas. Thank you for your commitment to your country. You know, it's no easy task. Those who are enlisting, you know, I want to thank you. You know, it's not an easy task. I personally wouldn't be able to make that commitment, but I know that That level of commitment is no easy task to take. Oh, for all those standing, you're now able to sit. Thank you. See, serving in the military takes a commitment, not just a commitment, but a sacrifice, and it can be highly demanding, but the return is worth it.
See,
as I was sitting here reflecting on this concept, you know, my little brother just turned 18, and he made the commitment as well. He made the commitment to serve in the Marines Reservists, and he signed for 8 years, you know, and I'm very proud of him, you know, and man, it's no easy task. Like I said, he made a commitment of 8 years. He sacrificed 6 months or more to be trained and equipped for his specialist, that to become the specialist that he's looking to be. But then his return is substantial. He's able to secure tuition for college, many, many more benefits, you know, loans, things like that to come. But as I was looking at back at this, I couldn't help but realize the same applies for the kingdom of God. You see, our president of the United States of America is the commander in chief. See, but for us, God is our commander in chief. See, God is calling us to make a decision on whom we are to serve. See, in the world, people serve the military, the president as the commander in chief. But God is calling us to serve him, our spiritual commander in chief. See, just as serving in the military is not mandatory here in the United States at this moment, in this portion of scripture, Joshua tells the people that they don't have to serve the Lord, but he gives them a choice. He tells them that today they must choose. See, but we may ask, well, if God wants us to serve him, why did Joshua give the choice? Does anybody know tonight? Come on, talk to me. Let me know you're with me. Come on now. See, Joshua gave the people of Israel the choice because God is a gentleman. God does not force himself upon anybody. God does not force his love upon nobody. And that's because he has given us the freedom of choice. The freedom to choose to serve him or not to serve him. You see, he gave us that freedom of choice because he wants us to follow him on our own will, on our own accordance, because of our own love and desire to be with him. You see, leading up to this portion of scripture, all through chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, Joshua gathered all the leaders and elders together at this point, and he gives them a run through of everything that has taken place up to this point. You know, and Joshua, for those who aren't familiar with it, Joshua was the one that took over the mantle from Moses, leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and through the desert. It was Joshua that rose up to the call to help lead the people to the promised land. You see, and Joshua was the one out of two good spies that said that the land was promising. See, but Joshua also had to remind the people of Israel everything that they went through, all the things that God had brought them from. Why? Because Joshua wanted the people to realize that God was doing something miraculous in their lives. God was wanting to continue to take them from glory to glory, that God wasn't done bringing them to where he wanted them to be. But these people needed to realize and remember where God brought them from. Because God wants us to not just serve him, but to serve him out of the gratitude of our hearts. And I believe here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, I believe that we are a people who are grateful. And I believe that we are a people who are willing to serve. Because every Saturday, I see people show up food outreach. People who are grateful for the transformation God has done in their lives. You see, as I sit here and look, I can't help but to think of the mercy and goodness that God had upon my life. Just like Pastor said, I'm a men's home graduate. September 8th, 2018. just this past week, I couldn't help but to be broken on Monday, because Monday was the day God removed the scales from my eyes. It was 2018, July 27th. I was in a car accident. I was drinking and driving. I was on drugs, and I woke up in JPS hospital. No clue how I got there, but I was told with not a scratch on my body, not a bruise, no handcuffs due to criminal charges, that I was free to go. That was no other than the hand of God and his protection. That was when God removed the scales of my eyes, just like he did for Paul on the road to Damascus. He said, "Son, you are going the wrong way." And he removed the scales of my eyes and changed the direction of my life. And I can't help but to be grateful. It was there at the men's home that God began to transform me, began to remove the mud and the nastiness of the world, and began to clean me up. You see, I was lost and bound. I was in all the wrong places at all the wrong times. But God began to remove those things, began to remove the clutter. See, just as God led the people of Israel to the promised land of Canaan, where they were to face the giants of the land, he too led me to a place called the Victory Home, where I was to face the giants of the land within me. See, the day I stepped onto that driveway, that Sunday night when I was dropped off and I was there with my home director, Pastor Josh, and the staff, it was there when I said that sinner's prayer on the driveway, little did I realize I was just enlisted into the army of God. You see, when we say that sinner's prayer, when we confess with our hearts, or believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, that is the moment we declare enlistment in the army of God. That is when we agree to serve him. You see, but I believe that it's not just there that God wants us to serve him, because it's not just in our salvation that God wants us to be a part of. It's much deeper than that. You see, and now when I look back, I can't help but to be grateful for that journey, because I know it's not over. I know that God is still directing my steps, and he's still leading me to where he desires me to be, but I haven't come to it yet. I haven't arrived yet, and I believe there's a group of people here. I see a parking lot full of people who are believing that God is still doing work in their life, or else you wouldn't be here. You see, I believe that I'm looking at a crowd full of grateful people. I believe that no matter what stage and walk you are, the place you're at in your walk, that God is wanting to take you to new levels. See, it's no coincidence that we're all still here in the midst of COVID-19. You see, God has given us a level of faith that surpasses what the world tells us to accomplish or to be afraid of. See, the saying's faith over fear. And right now, our faith has brought it to the house of the Lord. And it's because we are hungry. We are hungry for what God wants to do in our lives. And we want to have more. See, once we make the decision to serve the Lord, that's not all he's asking of us. Because just like in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about how he takes Ezekiel through the waters. And he wades out in the water. And first, it's ankle high. But then the priest takes him even further, and he ends up knee deep. Then he takes him even further, and he ends up waist deep. But that wasn't it. He kept taking him deeper and deeper. Took him till he was wading, and his feet didn't touch. But he was in the depths of the river where his feet couldn't touch. And I believe God is wanting to do the same thing with us in our servitude with him. You see, not only does God want us to make a decision on whom we're going to serve, but after we make that decision, God is calling us to be committed. To be committed to him. Not to be that reed in the wind swaying to and fro, that double-mindedness. You see, God wants us to be not just committed, but fully committed. To be 100. To give it our 100%. All in. Like we say, we're sold out for Jesus. See, we're not a sellout, but we're sold out for Christ. So, you see, God wants to take us, but he wants us to be fully committed. In the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 15, scripture reads, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You see, that is God talking to his people, to the church of Laodicea. See, they did deeds for the Lord, but it was like as if they were just picking and choosing their servanthood. They were picking and choosing when they wanted to serve the Lord, when they didn't. They were on the fence. They wanted to be of the world, but then also of the kingdom of God. See, but God wants us to be a church fully committed. And I believe that here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, those on Facebook, those tuned in on YouTube right now, that we're a people of commitment. Because why else would we be here on a Friday night? Why else would we be tuned in? You know, we're a people of commitment. See, as I graduated the home, God has a tendency to check us. See, I was right there in the home, and we had what we had, what was called a Victory Home retreat there in California at the mountaintop. And it was there that Pastor Ezra, one of our top pastors, you know, right there under leadership with Pastor Sonny, he gave a preaching right there at the conference, and he was talking about the Urban Training Center. See, and it was just something about it that really stirred me up inside. And I was really confused. I was like, well, what is this? So as I came home, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And as I graduated the home, I was like, well, what else is there for me? God, what is it that you want me to do? Because I believe that this isn't it. See, God was checking my level of commitment. He said, okay, son, you graduated the home, but what is it that, what else are you going to do for me? What else are you going to commit? And see, and it was right there that I realized I had to go to the training center. So I just want to let anybody who is 18 to 35 know right now, maybe you're at that point. You're like, well, what else is there for me in the kingdom? What else is there for me to do for God? Because right now, I just feel like it's service after service. And maybe it's gang service after gang service. But I feel like I'm not getting anything out of it. I encourage us, young adult, to go to the training center. There's multiple locations. You get a taste of the mission field. You get to see God touch people's lives internationally. Because it was there that God began to strengthen that commitment. You know, it was there that God gave me my calling. And what it was is mission field, mission-minded, to go to the mission field. See, it was there that he solidified my commitment as all in. Before, I might have been on the fence, but it was there that I gave that commitment. See, and I believe that we are reaching that level of more commitment required. See, Facebook and YouTubers, do you feel like there's more that you could do for Christ? Right now, tuned in on that channel, maybe you find yourself, you know, just hungry to do more. Start that watch party. Invite those friends. Be that one that's on our online usher. Come on, because we need people. We need people who are willing to give it their all. See, my pastor gave us a devotion just the other day, and he said that servanthood doesn't require permission. When it comes to the things of God, we need people to be that maverick and to step out. Of course, you know, don't 3-5. Come on, Proverbs 3-5. Don't lean on our own understanding. But when you get those ideas, run it past leadership, because we need more people to rise up, to be those to help raise and build the kingdom. Are we getting something here, Victory Outreach? See, another word to serve is to give. See, as I look at this portion of scripture, not only did it say to serve, but in portions of scripture, it says a synonym to serve is to give. To give. You see, we need to be a people who are willing to give. So let's look at it from the perspective of giving. You may ask yourself, well, what can I give to be fully committed to serving God? See, there are four areas that I want to touch on today that we can give in that will help us as a people of Christ better serve our spiritual commander in chief. The first one today is our treasure. See, Pastor touched on it a little bit already, but it says in Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart is as well. You see, we need to be a people who are willing to give up our treasures, to give our treasures to the things of God, because that also shows where our heart is. Earlier, I used the reference of the armed forces here in our country. See, many, many soldiers I've spoken to, those that have previously served, those that are serving right now in active duty, their heart is in the military, and they're compassionate for it. They're filled with a sense of pride for their country. And we need to be that same type of soldier that has a sense of compassion for who we're fighting under, who we're fighting for. You see, we need to be those that show our compassion for the army that we fight for. We need to be the same way. See, there's many avenues that we're able to store up the treasure in the different branches of the kingdom. You see, there's different branches in the armed forces. You got Army, you got the Navy, the Marines. Well, here in Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, I like to call them our branches of the kingdom. You see, we got, of course, the tithe, which is a command. It says in Malachi, for we are robbing God. And we don't want to be the ones robbing God, so it's a commandment to give 10%. But then there's also the offering branch. Come on now. You have a need, sow a seed. Come on now. You know, and then there's also the kingdom builders. You see, here on the home front, we call it kingdom builders, because kingdom builders is what finances the fight here in the trenches. Come on now. We got any kingdom builders in the house? Wave them loud and proud. Come on now. See, the kingdom builders are the ones that help be the pillars when we decide to launch out a church like Pastor Josh to the city of Irving. Kingdom builders are the ones that when we decide that God has placed a new building on our heart, that we're able to purchase that building. Kingdom builders is the one that when we decide to knock down walls here in the church house, we're able to supply the needs of material. It's the kingdom builders that are the ones that are the pioneers and the construction workers. Come on now. See, and kingdom builders are also the ones that help with the churches, you know, locally, if they need help. But that's not all. We got more branches of our kingdom military. We also got the United We Can. See, United We Can is the movement for world missions, because we're not just a local church. I said we're not just a local church, Victory Outreach. We're an international ministry worldwide. We're a ministry that is in Brazil, and we got children's homes. We're a ministry that has training centers and now in Amsterdam and Panama and Guadalajara and Chicago and West Coast and California. We're also the ministry that has a missions training center in Panama right there, where they get to be firsthand with right there in the trenches in Panama. We're also a ministry that is worldwide in Africa, Pretoria, Cape Town. You see, we're a ministry that is making moves worldwide, because the Bible says to take the gospel to the far corners of the world. See, but it's no easy job. See, this is a war. This is a war against the enemy, and it costs finances. See, and that's where United We Can comes in. United We Can is that movement where we can raise finances to save those churches in need. See, we need to be a church that shows support for our international family, because it is them that are our brothers fighting overseas. Right now, we're fighting on the home front. We're like the National Guard right now on the home side, but we got soldiers over there overseas that may need our help. So let's be those people that contribute to United We Can. See, but it goes a lot deeper than just $30 a month. See, right now we just started and kicked off Run for Hope. So I want to let everybody know to sign up, register. If you need that, the link online for online registration, you can connect with any leader. We'd be happy to help you out with that. Because Run for Hope is a marathon that we do to help raise those finances. See, that Run for Hope right now with COVID, we're in uncharted territory, but nonetheless, it's still going on. So we need to be that church that sets that example of not giving up, not letting COVID stop our push for the battle against the enemy on the international level. You see, the second point I want to touch on that we can give more of so we can be more committed in serving God is our talents and our gifts. See, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 25:14. And this is the parable of the master and their talent. See, it says right there in Matthew 25:14, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with talents. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to one talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. See, in that portion of scripture, it goes on to say that there was each one of his disciples, you know, the one that received 5 invested their talents. The one that received 2 invested his talents, but the one that received 1 ran off and buried it. And later on in that scripture, it says that the master came back and wanted to see the work that was done. And it was the one that had the 5 came back and said, "Master, I turned around and took the 5 that you gave me, and I earned 10. It was there that the one that had 2 came back and said, "Master, I took your 2 and turned it around into 4. But when the one came back with the 1, he says, "Master, here's the 1 you gave me." And the master said, "Why?" And the one that had the 1 said, "Well, I know how you are, you know, and I didn't want to risk it. I didn't want to risk what was going to be the return. So I just sat on it. I just buried it until you got back." See, we need to look at this like the kingdom of God. You see, God has given each and every one a talent. Some of us know how to paint. Some of us know how to do construction. Some of us know how to draw artistically, do media, make music. We need to use those talents. We can't be a church that sits on the talents God has given us. You see, He has also given us gifts. Not just any gift, but spiritual gifts. When we came to the Lord, the Holy Spirit anointed us with spiritual gifts. It says right here in 1 Corinthians 12:8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the Spirit, to another gifts of healing, another miraculous powers, one the gift of prophecy, to one distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. You see, God has given each and everyone a gift and a talent. See, but that's exactly what they are. Because in that first portion of scripture in Matthew, later on as you read, the one that sat on the gift, he got it revoked. God repoed that talent from him and said, "Well, if you're not going to use it, I'm going to take it and give it to somebody that will." And see, God is going to do the same thing to us. So if we are going to be a people that are going to serve God fully committed, we need to be fully committed in using what He has given us. We need to be a people who are good stewards of those gifts and those talents. So in this time of COVID, I'll be honest, I loved going to the streets. I loved evangelizing, and right now it's a little difficult, but that nonetheless, it still needs to be done because there's still souls out there that need to be reached. We need to be a people that gets creative. You know, we are a third wave church. We are a church that was birthed in the time of hardship. See, and we're going on 10 good years, and I believe it's not the end of it. See, so that means that we got to get our creative juices going and start thinking of new ways. Use those gifts and talents in a way that we've never thought of. You know how to play instruments? Get on TikTok and praise God. Get on the internet and start ministering the gospel. You see, we can't be a people that squander our gifts and talents. See, maybe we don't know what they are, though. You know, there was one point in time that I struggled trying to figure out what it was I good at. In the world, I would bounce from job to job. I went from one type of job to another. So I was a jack of all trades, kind of. But I never really knew what I was really good at. Maybe we find ourselves in that same predicament today. Maybe we're not sure. You see, in the military, when new recruits enlist, one of the steps in the process is they take what they call the ASVAB, the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery exam. This is a multiple choice test administered by the United States Military Entrance Processing Command. And this is what they use to determine qualifications for enlistment in the United States Armed Forces. This is how they narrow down people's power spots. Depending on your score level, there's different categories. They got mechanical, they got mathematical, they got all kinds of different brackets of categories that they are able to see you score in and how you score. And it's from there that they see what their power spots are. See, we may find ourselves in that same boat where we don't know our power spot, you know? Just like I was at one point in time, I didn't know. But Pastor Josh came and he laid down before me a gifts test. We have what we call a spiritual gifts test. It's the same thing. A multiple choice quiz, 100 questions. I thought I was taking like the SAT for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost SAT. You see, but as I sat there, it asked questions about servanthood. It asked me questions about helping others, you know, what kind of character I had, and it began to assess my spiritual placement. See, we can take one as well. If you need it, I have it. You can connect with me after service, because there's nothing like being able to figure out our power spots to be able to help serve the Lord. You see, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to help build the kingdom, right? We're here to help grow the kingdom of God, right? See, but in order to do that, we need to know what we're good at, because why focus our attention on something that we're okay at when we can thrive at something that we're good at for the kingdom of God? You see, the third thing that I want to touch on that we could give in order to better serve the kingdom of God is our testimony. See, in Revelation 12:11, it says they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Come on now. See, this portion of scripture, it's talking about the times of tribulation, but at the same time it says, but by the blood of the Lamb they overcame him. They're talking about Satan. And it's also by the word of their testimony. You see, our testimony holds power, guys. And we cannot be a generation, we cannot be a church that is scared to give our testimony. Because I know I was addicted to alcohol. I thought I was never going to stop smoking weed, but God came in and changed my life, and it's been 2 years now, and I know that there are other people out there struggling with alcoholism, struggling with the addiction of drugs and the party lifestyle, and just like me, tore up from the floor up, thinking there's no hope. But if God could do it for me, God can do it for them. If God changed every one of our lives, he can continue to do it, because my Bible, my book of truth, says he's the same God as past, present, and forevermore. And it's through our testimony that we speak about the goodness of the Lord, that others will begin to hear his goodness. You see, the Bible says that also in Romans, my fourth and final point is we got to be able to give thyself. See, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, I'm going to read it from the Message translation. See, but it reads, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. See, embracing what God does for you, for me, is the best thing that we can do for him. See, Joshua gave us a command to choose whom we are to serve and to be fully committed. And right here in Romans, it says that the best thing we can do for God is to give ourselves to him. In the NIV translation, it says to give your life as a living sacrifice. So that way we can give him our, that is our truest form of worship. And in from translation to translation, worship can also translate to serve. So in order to give God full commitment in serving him, he desires us to worship him. And that means with our lives. And I believe that we don't only just have a church of people. We don't only just have people watching online that are happy just being saved. I believe the Holy Spirit is tugging at our hearts to pull us deeper, to be more committed. You see, God wants us to be fully committed, all in. And it's when we give our lives to Christ in fullness, fully surrendered, that we will begin to see God move like we've never seen him move before. We'll begin to see loved ones saved because of our giving of our lives as a sacrifice. You know, when I came to the home, I gave him my life. I made a promise to God. God, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. I'm tired of falling every 6 months. I'm tired of picking myself up and crashing and burning. Year in and year out, it was the same thing. And it was right there on that doorstep, as I said that sinner's prayer, that God began to stir me up. And I couldn't help but to commit my life to him. No matter how my days go, I know that one day in his house is far greater than 1,000 elsewhere. I know because I've experienced the goodness of my Lord and Savior. It was there that I gave him my life. And no matter what my days bring me, I couldn't ask for it any better. It was the best decision of my life when I fully surrendered. And I believe that there are some people here right now tuning in, right there in your living room, right there where you're at. Maybe you're in your vehicle. Maybe you just scanned across this Facebook watch party. But God is calling us deeper. Those here in the parking lot, maybe we felt ourselves being tugged at. Maybe we felt ourselves being convicted and stirred up. God is calling us deeper, guys. Victory Outreach, Grand Prairie. He's calling us deeper. He wants us to be fully submerged with him. Fully all in. Not wading in the water in the kiddie pool. But let's jump in the deep end with him. So tonight I want to open up these altars for anyone who may feel like they need to commit a deeper commitment, to do more. I hope for those who are here.